We're doing something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to use less than 100 slides. Actually, many times I've used less than 100, but I'm only going to use 3 slides this morning. And I don't have all the scriptures, obviously, that I'm going to be using. We'll have some references, and I'll try to call those to your attention and give you the gist of those verses when we get to that particular slide. But it's a lesson I feel like needs to be preached from time to time so that we can share this lesson with others. It's not something that we are unfamiliar with, but from time to time we need to think about things and rehearse things, go over things again that we've known for years so that we'll be in a better position to talk to others about them. There are not many ways to heaven, most people, or a lot of people at least, in the religious world will say concerning denominationalism, well, we're all going to the same place, we're just traveling different roads to get there. But there's not but 2 ways, and only one of them leads to life. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Matthew 7:13 and 14, that is the English Standard translation. And so there are just 2 ways. One way is easy and the other way is hard. Now you can choose which way you want to go. But you need to realize that if you choose the easy way, that leads to destruction. But the hard way leads to life. And so if you really want to go to heaven, if you really want to enter into life, that is eternal life, you're going to have to go the hard way. Now this line represents the age of accountability, which will be different from person to person. We don't know how old an individual is going to be when they become accountable, or how they are when they become accountable, or when they became accountable. But at some point in an individual's life, depending on a lot of variables, at some point in a person's life, he is accountable for his actions, and what he does beyond that determines whether he is on the easy way or the hard way. And so at that point, when he becomes accountable for his actions, he sins against God, he separates himself from God, he needs to enter the hard way. He needs to enter the narrow gate and travel the hard way if he wants life. Because life is at the end of only that way. It's not the end of the other way. Now the other way is broad. Many go in at that wide gate. Many travel that broad. And it's broad enough that you can carry all of your sins with you. Now they don't always tell you that. They don't always say that, the preachers of those other ways. But all religious bodies of human origin are on the easy way that leads to destruction. Anything goes on the easy way. They may not say anything goes. But when you think about the wide variety of denominational churches, the diversity of their practices, the diversity of their doctrines, and they can say we're all going to the same place. Yeah. We're talking about the word gospel this morning in the Bible class. It is in the singular only in the Bible. And the word truth is only in the singular also in the Bible. And the only time you see the word doctrines in the plural is when it's talking about doctrines of demons or doctrines of men. The doctrine of Christ is singular. The apostles' doctrine is singular. And the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, must be obeyed if we're going to travel the hard way that leads to life. It makes a lot of demands, the gospel does. It only makes a few demands on the alien sinner. On the alien sinner, well, we'll talk about what the alien sinner has to do on the next slide, but very few demands on the alien sinner. More demands on the child of God. It has no demands at all on the person who wants to travel the easy way. See? Man is given a free will. And so if he wants to travel the easy way, he can do that. So you can choose which way you want to travel. You can choose the hard way. You can choose the easy way. But you can't choose the easy way and choose life. Because the easy way doesn't lead to life. The easy way leads to destruction. You don't have to know anything about the Bible to travel the easy way. You don't have to practice Satanism. You don't have to practice religious error. You don't have to do anything to travel the easy way. Because sooner or later, once a person reaches the age of accountability, he's going to sin. And at that point, he is on the easy way until he decides to travel the hard way. And so we need to understand that only those in the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, are on the hard way that leads to life, and only the things authorized by Christ are allowed on the hard way. We can't travel the hard way and do whatever we want to do or might want to do in our lives, whether we're talking about religiously or morally or some other way. Spiritually, you can't just do whatever you might want to do and stay on that hard way. There are many things which, if you do them, will move you from the hard way to the easy way. There are many things which, if you don't do, will move you from the hard way to the easy way. And so one can enter the narrow gate and begin to travel the hard way, and because it's too hard for him, he can move himself automatically into the easy way. And many have done that. Some whom we know have done that. But there's only two ways, and only one of those ways leads to life. Now, here's a chart. I think I've used this a little bit before, and I don't have any of the scriptures on there. I just have the references on there. But millions miss the hard way. And we're going to talk about where millions miss the hard way. Some of them miss it at one place, others miss it at another place. But they all miss it. Millions of them do, because they just don't realize how hard it is. They want things to be easier than they are. And there are plenty of preachers out there to make things seem easier than they are. I know I grew up hearing that. Hearing it preached that a Christian can steal, he can curse, he can commit adultery, he can commit murder, he'll still go to heaven, he just won't have as many scars in his family. But see, that makes it, that's the easy way. That makes it easy to get to heaven. Well, now the easy way leads to destruction, not to heaven. And so some miss it that way. They just don't want to do any of the stuff that makes it hard. Well, Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. We've got to accept God as creator. We've got to believe in the one true and living God. If we want to travel that hard way, if we want life, that's the end of that hard way, we've got to accept God as the creator of heaven and earth, as the one who has a right to tell us what to do. He's the only one. Every now and then, and I saw this just on the internet, Facebook, I guess, yesterday. He said, well, I wish life had come with an instruction book. It did. Right there it is. And it's interesting, and I know that we all love shows like Andy Griffith and Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, because they were really, really good shows, because they did uphold a standard of right and wrong, whereas many of the situation comedies and dramas today, there is no standard. And especially in situation comedy, they don't know how to get themselves out of their predicament. I don't know how God wants them to get out of it. Even in the Andy Griffith show, there were times when For example, Andy told Opie, there are no rules. Well, there are rules for parenting. Now, parents have some leeway in the application of those rules, but there are rules. Also, the parents in Ephesus, especially the fathers, bring your children up as a nurture in the admonition of the Lord. That's a rule. That's probably the only rule, but it's a broad rule. Every father has to do that. Well, there is no father at home, the mother has to do that. Children need to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've got this, God is creator, God as the one who has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. He created us. He designed us. He knows what's in our best interest and what's not in our best interest. And we need to, and he revealed that pretty early. Paul in Romans chapter 1 said he revealed that near the beginning, how man ought. He told Adam and Eve what he wanted to do and what he didn't want them to do. There was no excuse when they did what he told them not to do. He told Abel and Cain how to worship him. Cain was without excuse in worshiping God the wrong way. Not of faith, but of human reasoning. In Matthew 1:22, we have an account of the virgin birth. The angel told Joseph that Mary would bring forth a son. The virgin would bring forth a son. Called his name Emmanuel in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. We've got to accept the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and that's the only possible way for him to have been the Son of God if he was born of a virgin. See, if he had had an earthly father, you'd have a hard time saying, well, he's the Son of God. Well, wait a minute, now he's kind of... But Jesus had no earthly father, not a biological father. He had an foster father, an adopted father, yes. But he was and is the Son of God. In Matthew 3:16-17, when he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit descended as the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended as a dove and lighted upon him. And a voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus is God's Son. We've got to believe that. There's no room for any other believe any other opinion as to who Jesus was. He was and is the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man in that he is, I believe, the epitome of manhood. He is the personification of what God expects of man. But he is also the personification of God himself, and therefore the Son of God and the Son of Man. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, most people will agree to those 1, 2, 3, 4 things there. Well, yeah. Now, there's some that say you don't only have to have faith. Those are universalists. So a lot of people agree, yeah, you've got to have those four things, and once you have that fourth thing, that faith, then that's all you really need. Faith is a moment of decision, and when you've made that moment of decision, when you've made that decision in that moment, that's all you really need to do. You're going to heaven. You don't have to live a righteous life. You don't have to live a godly life. You don't have to live a sober life. It doesn't matter now, because when you have faith, when you have that moment of decision, that momentary decision that you believe, then you're forgiven of sins past, present, and future, and there's room for that on the easy way, but there's no room for that on the hard way. That kind of thinking leads to destruction rather than to life. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock, the rock of truth that Peter had just confessed, I will build my church. And that's the church we need to be aware of. That's the only church whose faithful members are on the easy or the hard way, the way that leads to life. Even some who are members of that church are on the easy way. Their membership perhaps exists only in their mind. If they're not in fellowship with God, it doesn't really matter whether they're still on the church roll. We may view them, thinking of them, we may be thinking of them as faithful when they're not. We don't always know a person's status with God. But you've got to be a member of the body of Christ, the church which He built, if you want the life that the hard way leads to. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. He that is unfaithful to Christ, he's separated from God. If he's justified by the law, by the works of the law, you're separated from Christ. You're not in Christ. To believe that you're justified on the basis of works, things that you have accomplished, and that removes you, if you ever were on the hard way, removes you from the hard way to the easy way, that kind of thing. In Isaiah 55:8-9, Isaiah said, the Lord said through Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but as the heavens are higher than the earth, are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. It doesn't matter what I think about something. Every now and then you raise a question about a certain doctrine or a certain practice, and somebody says, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter whether you see anything wrong with it. What matters is whether it's taught in God's Word, whether it's something God has revealed or not. Because His ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. In James 2:24, faith without works is dead, being alone. If you get up here to Hebrews chapter 11:6, you've got faith, but you don't progress beyond that. Your faith never manifests itself in the other things that are necessary. Then that's faith only, and faith only, and all these other things lead to death, destruction, and damnation. It's the way that seems right unto a man, Proverbs 14:12, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that's what we got there. The way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, Proverbs 14:12, also Proverbs 16:25. What else is there, Bob, beyond faith? Well, you've got to experience a godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 17, godly sorrow work of repentance. Not to be regretted. You won't regret repenting, but you've got to repent. You've got to determine that I'm not going to be on the hard way or the easy way anymore. I'm repenting of the things that are on the easy way so that I can move to the hard way. That's got to be in your mind. That's got to be in your heart. And it's got to be motivated by godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is not repentance, but it leads to repentance. And it must be followed by repentance. In Acts 17, verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why is that? Well, because all men everywhere, once they reach the age of accountability, unless they obey the gospel, once they sin, if they don't obey the gospel, or until they obey the gospel, they are on that easy way that leads to destruction. Now, if you think with many that only your thoughts and feelings matter, or that you can join the church of your choice, and again, that's the way that seems right to man that leads to death, destruction, and damnation. That's the easy way. Believe in whatever you want to believe. Being a member of whatever church you want to be a member of. Believe in whatever you want to believe. Feeling however you want to feel. Thinking however you want to think. That leads to destruction. There's got to be repentance of that kind of a thing, that kind of an attitude. There's got to be a confession in Romans 10, verse 10. If you confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's got to be that confession of the faith that already exists in your heart. But in Matthew 13:41, if at some point you become unfaithful, then that leads to death, destruction, and damnation. That infidelity moves you from the easy way to the hard way, which leads to destruction. And not only like that, once you confess Christ, you have must be baptized. When Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, What must I do? What would you have me to do? Jesus said, go into the city and it'll be told you. And then Jesus sent a man to tell him what he had to do. And the only thing that man told him to do was to rise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the Lord. Now that's the last act of a man who is moving from the easy way to the hard way. And he has come to believe, he's repented his sins, he's confessed his faith, he's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he's no longer on that easy way that leads to destruction, that moves him over to the hard way that leads to life. But again, there are certain requirements that God makes of those who are on that way. Only certain things allowed in worship, only certain things allowed in your spiritual life, only certain things allowed in your moral life, only certain things allowed in your religious life. There's no room for sin on that narrow way. And notice it keeps getting narrower and narrower as more and more things are required of you, then less and less can be added to that. And in John 4:24, God is the Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And so, only certain things are a part of that worship. Anything added into your worship by man is not in that category of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Those who cease to worship in spirit and truth and never begin to worship in spirit and truth, they become unfaithful. They go to death and destruction and damnation. They're on that easy way. Spiritual growth is required in 2 Peter 1:5-11. Add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And I may have left one out, there's 7 of them. You've got to experience those things. You've got to grow in those areas. And only then can you say, yes, an abundant entrance will be administered unto me into the eternal kingdom. A person's not working on those things. He's no longer on the hard road that leads to life. He's moved over to the easy road that leads to damnation, the death, destruction, and damnation. Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. And that doesn't just mean be faithful until you die, although certainly that is true, but faithful in the face of death. Now, you can become unfaithful and then later you could repent, that's true. But it's a dangerous thing to say, well, I'll do this now, but I'll repent later. Well, you might not live to repent. When you knowingly sin, that moves you from the hard way to the easy way, from the way that leads to life to the way that leads to destruction. And if you die before you repent, then that's where you'll be. You'll be facing death, destruction, and damnation at the judgment of Christ. In Galatians 3:17, sing to yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Nothing about instrumental music anywhere in the New Testament. We can't add that to our worship. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, come into the kingdom of heaven, he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We've got to keep on doing his will to stay on that hard way that leads to life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me, or no man comes to the Father, but by me. You can't have a right relationship with God the Father without having a right relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. You've got to come to God through Jesus. Jesus had already said in John 6:44, no one cometh to me except the Father who sent me draw him. In the next verse, whoever hears and learns from the Father cometh unto me. So that's how the Father draws one to Christ, is through the Word. And so the Father draws people to Christ so they can have a right relationship with Christ, and through that right relationship have a right relationship with the Father himself. And so you've got to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And then again, you've got to travel the hard way that leads to life rather than the easy way that leads to destruction. So there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death or destruction. That's the easy way. All religious bodies of human origin are on the way, easy way that leads to destruction. Anything goes on the easy way. You can If you wanted to, you know, you've got free will, you could start your own church. If people say, oh, you know, I think, oh, well, you know, start your own church. I think I'll go over and see how they do it. You could start your own church, you could make it just so easy that people would come in droves. We've all seen churches that seem to grow, and I know, you know, we would like to grow physically. I'd like to knock out, you know, some of these walls and, you know, spin the building out one way or the other. Maybe one day we'll have to do that. What we've got to concentrate on is doing things God's way and not start doing things our way just so we can increase our number. A lot of people do that. Numbers is all they can think about. Spaghetti suppers, pizza suppers, ball teams. Just whatever it takes. Let's get the people in here. Well, first thing, I don't want people in here that won't repent. I want people in here that need to repent and will repent. And they are certainly welcome. But we don't want to start appealing to people who have no love of the truth. Now certainly we can talk to people and try to create within them a love of the truth. You know, if we start appealing to those people before too long, they'd outnumber us. And we might have to leave the building. We might have to go back out to the recreation building behind Martha Bowman. And not Martha Bowman. Martha Bowman. I can use Martha Bowman, maybe White. I mean, if we had it to do, we'd have it to do. You know, whatever it takes to stay on that hard way, that's what we need to do. But we need to be careful who we accept into our fellowship. We don't want to be fellowshipping people that we would have to withdraw from if they were already here. We've got to be careful. Only those in the body of Christ are on the hard way that leads to life. And only the things authorized by Christ are allowed on the hard way. And, you know, not a lot of people are attracted by that. And that's sad. And I don't know what it would take with some people, you know. You try to